Blog Talk Radio.
We invite you to listen to the Crystal Chanel Show every Sunday on blogtalkradio.com. You can listen in from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The call-in number is 347-850-8557. That's 347-850-8557. Listen live online at blogtalkradio.com/The Crystal Chanel Show and check out our website at www.crystalchanelministries.com. That's crystalchanelministries.com.
Well, hello, everybody. It's your girl, Angie, helping other people endure this evening. Today is Tuesday, July 19th, 2016, and we are live on Blog Talk Radio. Hello to all my listeners on Facebook and Twitter and Periscope, and I'm just so happy to be here tonight. We are here once again to help other people endure. I just want to thank Crystal Chanel Ministries for allowing us this platform. God has been so good to her, and she is not being selfish. She is spreading the wealth and providing avenues for many people to come and minister and to share the things that God has put on their heart. So I just want to say thank you to Crystal Chanel Ministries. So, guys, we are going to be going in tonight. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. You know that you can always reach us if you want to. Email me at helpotherpeopleendure @gmail.com. My name is Pastor Angie Walson. I pastor a church in Fayetteville, Georgia, called Hope Together International Church. And that is kind of where we jumped off with this radio program, Help Other People Endure. We want to spread some hope in people's lives. I know that there are people that are hurting. As long as we have breath in our body, we have happy people, we have sad people, and everyone in between. But it's not over. It's not over. And sometimes you need someone to share that with you, to stand in the gap for you when you can't stand for yourself. I know I did. There were times when my head hung low, but people came by and lifted me up. And so it's time for me to return the favor and share what God has put on my heart. Guys, you also tonight, feel free to call in. It's our number is 347-850-8557. And all you have to do is push that button number one, and my producer will get you in so that you can comment, you can ask a question, you can get in on this conversation. So before we even get started, I just want to pray with you because that's what I do. So bow your heads and just ask God to come into this time that we are sharing. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you. God, we bless you, and we acknowledge you. We know that you are still alive, God, and you have not forgotten us. No matter what the enemy says, God, your word says that I have not forgotten you, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so, God, we say thank you, God. That gives us hope, God. That gives us hope to go on. And so, Lord, we just praise your name for all those that are listening, God. We ask that you would touch their hearts, meet them at their need in the mighty name of the precious Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray and I believe and I say amen. 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 But tonight we are going to go in because we are talking, you know, I'm always here to talk to my brothers and sisters. I like to start with the body of Christ first because we are the people who are God's hands and his feet on this earth. We're the people who should be the example. And just like anyone else, we have flesh, we fall short. The Bible says that we all have fallen short of the glory of God. And I must tell you, before we even get started, that's where we're going. I want to let you know that September 11th, we will be having an outreach venture. It's actually going to be an engagement session. It's going to be at the Residence Inn Atlanta, Norcross, at Peachtree Corner. It's 5500 Triangle Drive Northwest in Norcross, Georgia. That will be September 11th at 12 p.m. Come and join our church, Hope Together International Church, for an engagement session. We will have officials from the public health community. We will have area faith-based organizations to come, and we will all come together so that we can talk about what we're talking about tonight. The title tonight is Open the Doors of the Church. It's time to open the doors of the church, and basically that's what we're going to be doing on September 11th. We're going to feed you. We got a good caterer. We're going to have some food. The fee is only going to be $10 because when I tell you we're going to feed you, we're going to feed you. So you'll be able to get tickets from myself and through Crystal Chanel Ministries. Next week we probably will be broadcasting again, hopefully, and we will get that information. You also can find it on our Facebook page at Help Other People Endure. So tonight, like I said, we are talking about opening up the doors of the church. You know how you're in church and you hear the pastor say, open the doors of the church, or the doors of the church are open? Well, that's where we're going. That's what we're going to talk about. What does that mean? Who are the doors opening towards? Who are they open for? And so that's where we want to go. And so remember, I'm talking to my brothers and sisters first who say that they are believers, who say that they believe Jesus. They believe his teachings, they believe God, and that we seek to live our lives after him. So let me ask you, first of all, let me give you some stats, because this is the position that we as Christians find ourselves in. American Bible Society, and they have or what we believe as Christians, and according to their surveys, it says fewer than half of the Christians, I'm having some technical difficulties, y'all bear with me, it says fewer than half of all adults can name the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Now, we're just talking adults here. That's not necessarily people who believe in Christ, but may have had some type of interaction with church, grew up in the church. It says fewer than half of all adults can name the four Gospels. There's another statistic that says 60% of Americans cannot name five of the Ten Commandments. You know, our country was built on our Ten Commandments, but it says 60% of Americans cannot name five of the Ten Commandments. There's another statistic that says 82% of Americans believe God helps those who help themselves is a Bible verse. Now, that could be Christian, non-Christian, believer, non-believer, but people think that that's a Bible verse. It's not a Bible verse, guys. I'm telling you this so that because we're going somewhere, okay? Let's keep going. All right, so according to one Bible professor at a Bible college, he said that, and this is crazy, he said that people actually thought Joshua, son of a nun. Guys, we stay ignorant. The Bible says we perish for lack of knowledge. What we see going on in the world today and what we see going on in churches, it's because people are not really following what God laid out for us. That's just point blank. We're not really following what God has laid out for us. A lot of people don't read their Bibles. A lot of people don't pray. And let's just be real. There was a time where I had to get on myself. Y'all know, as Christians, as followers, as believers, we don't always read like we should. We don't always pray. It's not that we have to get up every morning and read a whole chapter, but we at least have to engage our Bible, be intimate with it, know it. Just like we call our boyfriend, just like we call our girlfriend, just like we call our husband, just like we call our wife on a regular, has to be like that with God. That's how you can really say that you know somebody. Now, let's talk about this, because we're talking about opening up the doors of the church. Now, some of those statistics included believers, and some of those statistics included non-believers. I want to talk about why the doors of the church need to be open and where we're going. But first, let's talk about this. Okay, so we hear people all the time say, judge not, well, the scripture first says in Matthew 7:1, judge not lest you be judged. But when you talk about judging, the world gets mad, don't they? They get really angry. People get angry when we start throwing that word judge around, or when they think or feel that they're being judged. And it happens in the church. Our culture cannot get enough of this verse. What you hear them say when we start talking about judging or just talking about what's right and what's wrong in society, then you start hearing people say, well, you don't judge me. It's not right to judge. Don't judge lest you be judged. People love to throw that verse around, and that comes from Christian and non-Christian, believer and non-believer. That's offensive to people. It becomes fighting words, if you will. They love the thought of Jesus telling us to stop being so judgmental. You can hear a non-believer say that quick right back to you. You shouldn't judge. Well, not all judging is wrong. Basically, in that scripture, Matthew chapter 7, it's like the first six verses, really what Jesus is talking about is straight and easy. Bad judging is prohibited, okay? Don't judge badly, and good judging should be practiced, okay? Don't condemn someone to hell. Don't judge badly, but good judging is practiced. Let's talk about that. What do I mean by that? Okay, so Matthew 7 says, judge not that you be not judged. So is all judging bad, or is all judging allowed or not allowed? No, okay? The top three rules of Bible interpretation is context, context, context. People are quick to take a Bible, take a scripture, and use it for their own purpose, and it's out of context. It's out of context. Let me tell you what I mean. So this is examples of good judging, okay? Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at verses 5 and 6. Okay, so it says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye. Now, I'm going to tie this in to how I'm talking about opening the doors of the church. The scripture says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. It says, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and then turn to attack you. Two examples of judging are in this verse, okay? Let's look at verse 16, same chapter. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs or from thistles? That's an example of judging, because it's telling you to beware of false prophets, and you will recognize them by their fruits. You have to see that and judge for yourself by what you see. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18. I'm going somewhere because I'm going to show you how we're talking about opening the doors of the church. Matthew 18, verse 15. It says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. That's good judging right there. That's a good example of good judging. Because let's talk about this. Let's say I have a brother who's caught in sin, and I just go to him all full of self-righteousness and go to him pointing out his sin and telling him that he's going to hell, just not in love, in the spirit of condemnation. That is bad judging, and God did not tell us to do that. The example in this scripture is, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Don't spread it all out. Don't go gossip about it. Don't make it worse. Don't put him on Front Street and put him on blast. If he listens to you because you've gone to him just between you and him, then you have gained your brother. All right? Now, these are many verses that encourage us to make what we call moral judgments, but we do it in a good way, all right? All right, so let's talk about this. Let's keep going. All right, so it's wrong to take Matthew 7:1. I thought I had a call. It's wrong to take Matthew 7:1 out of context and proclaim that Christ is teaching that Christians should accept everyone's morality. I'm not saying that, okay? And it doesn't mean we can't ever tell anyone that they're wrong, okay? That we are told to judge, okay? We make moral judgments all the time. Everyone does. It's all these people that keep saying, don't judge, they make judgments all the time. We all do. If no one's allowed to make a moral judgment, it's impossible to follow a police officer. Because you got to decide if what he's saying is right. You got to decide if what he's saying is wrong. It's impossible to follow your boss unless you make a judgment call. Same thing with your parents, teenagers. Same thing with a pastor. We make judgments all the time when our pastor stands up in the pulpit. How did he do today? What did she talk about today? I don't know if that was right. I don't think like pastors shouldn't say this. People make moral judgments all the time. So is all judging prohibited? No. All right? Now, let's talk about this. What type of judging is prohibited? And that's what I was just telling you, the self-righteous, hypocritical judging, okay? Now, this is where I want to go. Okay, now remember, we're talking about opening the doors of the church. And what I want to put out there is, remember, we're talking about talking to our believers. Yes, it encompasses some of the people of the world that do this, but we're talking about believers right now, okay? So is all judging prohibited? No. But we're talking about this self-righteous, hypocritical judging. Look at Matthew chapter 7, and we'll go to verses 3 and 5 again. It says this, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is this log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Come on, somebody. That right there is it in a nutshell. That right there is it in a nutshell. How can we see this little speck? We can look at our brother and our friend and our family member and our coworker and just people in general and talk about their sin, talk about what they're doing, and not even notice. I don't even understand how you cannot notice this big old log that's in your own eye. That's what Scripture says, this big old log that's in your own eye. How can you go to your brother and say, "Let me help you with that. Let me take that speck out of your eye because you got a problem. You need this. You need Jesus. You need this," when there's this big old log in your own eye? Now, this is where I'm going when I'm talking about opening the doors of the church, because, first of all, to my brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to remember who we are, and I think I've talked about this before. We have to remember where we came from. Let's look at Mark chapter 2 real quick. I want to show you this. Mark chapter 2, and then we're going to come back here. Mark chapter 2. Okay. Let's go down to verse 17. No, let's go to... Let's see, verse 13. All right, so he went out again. Jesus is calling. Here, this is Jesus. Jesus went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me," and he rose and followed him. Now, verse 15 says this, "And as he is Jesus, and as he reclined at the table in his house," he was at Levi's house, y'all, "many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, 'Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?' And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well and have no need of a physician,'" I'm sorry, "'those who are well,' he said to them, 'those who are well have no need, who are sick do. I came not to call the righteous, but I came for the sinners.'" That's what we've got to remember. Jesus came for those who are well, but for those who are sick. He said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician. They don't need a doctor, but the ones that are sick do." Church, it's time to open the doors of the church. It's time to open the doors of the church. We're going to take a small break now for our sponsors, and when we come back, we'll pick up right where we left off.
Are you in the market for a complimentary facial treatment, lip treatment, or hand treatment? Then Crystal Chanel can help. If you would like to host a Mary Kay party, or you would just like to purchase something for yourself or someone else, maybe a friend or relative, please visit www.marykay.com/crystaljenkins or call 770-715-7949. That's 770-715-7949 to book your appointment or to place your order today. If your New Year's resolution was to get back in shape this year, well, Lifetime Fitness in Johns Creek can help. So be sure to get your results and call Adam at 678-722-5912 if you would like a free pass to the gym or would like to get information on how to join this awesome gym. And tell them the Crystal Chanel Show sent you. 11555 Johns Creek Parkway in Johns Creek, Georgia, 30097. GPS it and get your information today.
All right, we are back. Welcome again to the Help Other People Endure show. I'm Pastor Angie Walton, your host, and I'm so glad that you are here with us tonight. We are talking about opening the doors of the church. And remember that if you want to call in or have comments, you can call in at 347-850-8557 and press number one, and we will do our best to get you in on this line. So we are talking about opening the doors of the church, and we were just reading in Mark chapter 2, and I just read to you about Jesus sitting down and eating with the tax collector Levi and many other tax collectors and sinners. And the Pharisees, they didn't like it, and when they saw him, they talked and spoke amongst themselves and said, why is he eating with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus heard them. And he said, well, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick do. And I came not to call the righteous, but I came to call the sinners. And guys, come on, the truth is that we wouldn't be believers if God hadn't sent Jesus to call us into his family. Amen? Come on. We would not be believers. We would not be believers. In order for us to be believers, we had to come from somewhere. We were sinners before we became believers. Let's talk about what else we were. Let's go. Let me see. Let me get you right over here. Turn with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Okay. No, we just read Matthew. I'm sorry, guys. We just read Matthew chapter 7. I'm trying to pull up my bookmarks really quick. Praise God. All right. So let's go here first. Let's look at Mark chapter 2, verse 17 again. Okay, so I just read to you about that it's the healthy. It's the ones that are sick, the sinners that Jesus said he came for. Jesus loves the sinner. Let me tell you that he loves everybody. He loves us all because he made us in his image. People like to try to throw around that Jesus hung out with sinners. He didn't just hang out with sinners. He wasn't just hanging out, guys, just to be sitting back and throwing, you know, drinking some beer and watching TV or whatever. He didn't just hang out with sinners. He hung out with sinners because he had a purpose. Okay? Jesus had a plan. He's very strategic. He didn't just hang out with them so he could sin. He didn't hang out with them to be persuaded to do what they did. He didn't hang out with them to give up who he was. He hung out with them because he had a purpose. His purpose was not to hang, but his purpose was to heal. His purpose was to bring them into the fold. That's how we became believers. He hung out with them to bring them to what we call repentance. Okay? He hung out with them not because he thought it was cool, but he said, I need to help them turn. I need to help them change. I need to show them my Father. I want to talk to them about my Father's word. And he did it on their terms. He sat with them at their house. He ate with them and he drank. He didn't come with condemnation. He didn't come self-righteously. He came to sit down, break bread, have a meal, and then have some conversation. See, there's a method to talking to people. There's a way to talk to people so that you don't alienate them, so that you don't push them away. Jesus' purpose was not to offend. I heard a whole bunch of people say, oh, well, if the word offends, so be it. You know, that's not the right attitude. Nobody came to you to offend you. We come to people in love. Repentance means to turn or to change. So how could Jesus urge people to repent if he hung out with them just to condone their behavior? He couldn't do that. What he did was he sat down with them to eat and to break bread and to have conversation with them. He wanted to heal all their pain. He wanted to heal their hurt. He wanted to have conversation and hear where they were coming from. Let them talk about their fears. Let them talk about their pain. And Jesus turned to the hypocrites and he said, you hypocrites, Isaiah did well fine. These people draw near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's what he said to the Pharisees, that their hearts were far from him. Their hearts were far from him. They talked about Jesus with their lips, but they didn't know him in their heart. They didn't love him in their heart. He said, Isaiah talked about you. We don't want to be that kind of people. We don't want to be those type of believers. We can't draw anybody to Christ with self-righteous behavior and self-righteous words and condemnation. The Bible says that, let me go back to this scripture real quick. Let's go back to Mark chapter 2. When they asked him, the tax collector said, why did he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus said, because I came for those who were sick. The people who were sick need me. The people who call themselves believers and righteous, they don't need me like that. That's because they've already come into the fold. Now, let me tell you what our job is. We should be like EMTs, emergency medical transports. We should be going out into the streets, opening up the doors of the church, and bringing in our lost brothers and sisters. We should be the EMTs driving that ambulance to the church as fast as we can. But instead, what so many people of the lost are doing is that they're coming up against shut doors, closed doors. They're coming up against the hand. They're coming up against believers who have their noses turned up. And you got to remember, if Jesus went to them and sat down and ate with a mission to heal their hurt and their pain, and he went to them in love, then we as his hands and his feet ought to be doing the same thing. We ought to be opening the doors of the church to the lost. I tell you what, at my church, if you are dirty, if you smell bad, you are welcome in my church. If you are gay, you are welcome in my church. If you are a thief, you are welcome in my church. If you are a liar, you are welcome in my church, because Jesus said, those who are sick need me. And I speak not of my own, but I speak what the word says to my lost brothers and sisters who need love and who need Jesus. How are they going to know about Jesus? How are they going to hear that he loves them and that he came for them if we have our doors shut? I like to redirect the mission of the church. I like to put it on the table and put it out for thought that we consider pastors to redirect the mission of our church, to remember that first and foremost we are to open the doors and to go out after our lost brothers and sisters, that we should have a heart that's close to God, that our heart should be a heart of flesh, that our heart should be a heart of compassion, that our heart should say, there is room for you at my table, because you won't know about understanding, man. I know somebody out there is hearing the heart of our Father. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick are the ones I came for. I came not to call the righteous, but I came to call the sinners. Don't you know, my brother and sister who are believers, don't you know that it will break Jesus' heart if we leave, if there are people in your family that don't make it into heaven because you have not told them Jesus loves you, that you are too righteous now that you can't sit down and have a meal with that brother or that sister who's a drunk. Cook some dinner. Cook a plate. Invite them over to your house and say, I just want you to come and eat with me. I love you. I just want to tell you what I learned Sunday. I want to share with you why my life is, why I feel like I've changed. Don't be self-righteous. Don't put yourself up on a pedestal because you didn't save yourself. Come on, somebody. It's time to be real. The churches are empty. They're full of people who come back every Sunday. Sunday after Sunday, come in on Wednesday, and we call ourselves believers, but we're inside and we're hurting. We're inside and we're broken. And we're coming and going, and nothing's changed. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to go to verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Okay, I'm going to start at verse 7. It says, the very fact that you have lawsuits, these were people who were having lawsuits among themselves, believers. He says, the very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have already completely been defeated. Why not rather just be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you give to your brothers and your sisters, because these were believers who were having quarrels amongst themselves and fighting and going to court, you know, taking it to judges amongst themselves, believers. And he says, you're doing this, but you cheat yourself, and you do this to your brothers and sisters. You're fussing amongst yourselves. This one cheated me. This one lied, but you're doing the same thing. Look at verse 9. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? That's it right there. Look at, let me read it in the King James Version. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Unrighteous, wrongdoer encompasses everything. It's not just one sin. It's not a liar. It's just, he's just not talking about liars. He's just not talking about thieves. He said the unrighteous, wrongdoers shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived. That's verse 9. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, neither idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen to this, though, because don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me right now because I'm just reading what the scripture says. But let me read verse 11 because guess what? He's talking about me too. Verse 11 says, and that is what some of you were. That's me. That's you. That's your mama. That's your daddy, your brother, your sister, your daughter, your son, your grandma, papa. That's your cousins. That's your auntie. That's your uncle. That is what all of us were. See, we can't get upset about this because all of us, it's time for the church to level the playing field. We all start from the same position. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So why is it okay now for me to be in the church, but now I'm going to turn behind me and shut the door once I get in? Oh, come on, somebody. I'm going to walk in the church, get saved, get delivered, get set free, and I'm going to turn around and shut the door behind me and tell my brother, you can't come in because you're gay. Tell my sister, you can't come in because your skirt is too short. Now, I'm not talking about their sin right now. What I'm saying is the door, the church needs to be open because Jesus said, I didn't come for those who were righteous, but I came for the sinner. So if we close the door to the sinner, we are disobedient to what Jesus is doing and what he wants us to do. Believers, open the doors to the church. Pastors, open the doors to the church. Teachers, open the doors to the church. And people of God that are in pew, it is time for you to get comfortable sitting next to somebody who smells like urine. It is time for you to get comfortable sitting next to somebody who might smell like alcohol because they need Jesus. They're your brother and they're your sister. Come on, somebody. I know it's tight, but it's right. They are your sister and your brother. Open up the doors and say, Somebody opened up the door to you. That's why you can call yourself a believer. Don't get it twisted. The Bible says, don't be deceived. Such were some of you. And that's just the truth. See, we forget who we are. And I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love you. But it's time for us to go after what God wants us to do. We've got our mission twisted. It's not about having programs. It's not about putting on shows and bringing in this artist and bringing in that artist. All that helps. But the ultimate plan and the ultimate goal is to see people come to Christ crying and saying, Lord, I want to be changed. Because then we can use their voices up there and we can have them come in and worship with us. We need everybody's talent in the house. Come on, somebody. We're going to take another commercial break right now, but when we get back, we're going to keep going.
Are you in the market for a complimentary facial treatment, lip treatment, or hand treatment? Then Crystal Chanel can help. If you would like to host a Mary Kay party, or you would just like to purchase something for yourself or someone else, maybe a friend or relative, please visit www.marykay.com/crystaljenkins or call 770-715-7949. That's 770-715-7949 to book your appointment or to place your order today. If your New Year's resolution was to get back in shape this year, well, Lifetime Fitness in Johns Creek can help. So be sure to get your results and call Adam at 678-722-5912 if you would like a free pass to the gym or would like to get information on how to join this awesome gym. And tell them the Crystal Chanel Show sent you. 11555 Johns Creek Parkway in Johns Creek, Georgia, 30097. GPS it and get your information today.
All right, we are back. You are back with Help Other People Endure. I'm your host, Pastor Angie Walston, and I'm so glad that you are joining me tonight. Guys, this is why I do what I do. We are here to help other people endure. We have brothers and sisters who are struggling with their sin, who are living lives, and who are afraid to say, I'm struggling, right in the church. I can see that I have people on the line. I invite you to call in and just give me your thoughts. If you're struggling, I'll pray with you. Don't feel alone. Let me tell you, do not feel alone. We all have fallen and come short of the glory of God. God knows that we all fall short. That's why he came. That's why he came. The Bible says that he put on flesh and walked around in it and overcame it. He didn't sin, and he did that for us. He did that so that we could overcome. So how come my brothers and sisters who call themselves believers think it's okay now to say this person can't come into our church? How come? Somebody call me and tell me why we should shut the doors of the church. Somebody tell me why it's okay to say to my gay brother and sister, you can't come in church and hear the word of God. Come on, somebody. How can they change if they don't hear? And I'm just talking about anybody who's fallen into sin. How can we change from our mess if someone doesn't come and tell me, Angie, don't do that, baby. That's going to hurt you. That's not God's best for you. This is what God says, but he loves you. Let me tell you something. Don't ever tell someone that God doesn't love them. The Bible says that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of the Father. Nothing can separate you from Jesus' love. He's like a parent. He may not like what we do all the time, but he's still going to love you. He's still going to love you, and he still has his arms open wide. So I say to my believers, my brothers and sisters, my pastors, the people who know the door of the church, it's time for you to redirect the mission of your church. Get a ministry. Get some people together. Start teaching on opening the doors of the church. because our brothers and sisters that are lost are dying. Now, remember, he said such were some of you. So we can't be, what we have to do is think like this. If I have a son or a daughter who I know is just out there, you know, they might be strung out on drugs. They might be in a bad relationship getting beat. They may be the perpetrator of that abuse. They may be the one who is beating on somebody. They may be a thief. They may be in and out of jail because they just can't seem to get their footing right. They have lost their way. Am I going to say, I hate them, I don't want nothing to do with them, I don't want to see them? Now, granted, you know, you may not want, you know, people in your house tearing your house up and all that, but what I'm saying is this. Do you still love them? Yes, you do. Do you still want the best for them? Yes, you do. Do you still want their hurt to be healed? Yes, you do. If you love them, you do. If you truly love the person that is out there hurting them, like, you know, think of it as a family member. Because really, if we say we are part of the family of Jesus Christ, then people who are lost are our brothers and sisters. And God was so kind to send our big brother Jesus to come down. He said, I'm going after my brothers and sisters. He didn't shut the door to us. Not only that, but he laid down his very life. I just like to say, churches, I believe we're getting it wrong. We put too much emphasis on programs. We put too much emphasis on filling our church. You want to know how to fill your church? Lift up Jesus. Preach nothing but the Bible. Don't preach your agendas. Don't preach stuff to make you famous. Don't preach stuff to put your name on a name out there. Preach the word of God. And he says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. If my name be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's how your church gets filled. But let me tell you something, because I believe this. Now, this is just Angie. I believe we're not going to be in our churches long. The true church is going to open the doors and walk out. Because if the lost do not feel comfortable coming in, we're going to have to do like Jesus did and go to their house, go to the tax collector's house, go to the sinner's house and sit down and eat and have bread, break bread, and eat and drink with them and bring them to Jesus. Talk about Jesus to them. Remember, we don't go to hang, we go to heal. I think I'm going to get a T-shirt, y'all. I don't hang, I heal in the name of Jesus. God is so good. Come on, we got to get it right. We got to get it right. If we're shutting the doors, we need to open the doors. I just believe that we need to take ministry outside of our doors. Those four walls cause us to have limited view. All we see is what's on the inside of those walls. We see our programs. We see our pastor, whom we hail. We see the choir, the worship team. Come on, somebody. We have limited view. We have limited view because all we see is those four walls. And guess what's happening? We have people coming into the church every Sunday, the same people. There's no lost in the church. Everybody in the church saved. Everybody in the church is self-righteous. Everybody in the church got it all together. So I wouldn't come into the church either because I'm a sinner. God saved me by his grace. So we have people coming to the church every Sunday, the same people coming down to the altar. Now, if you're a believer, where's your power? The Bible says we can overcome in the name of Jesus. But we got believers coming to the altar Sunday after Sunday. But it's not the lost. Nobody's getting saved. Can Bishop pray for me? Can this prophet pray for me? Everybody wants a word. But we're not sharing it. See, this is what I'm talking about, limited vision. All we know is what's on the inside of the four walls. But it's time for the people of God, the believers, to go outside the doors, open up those doors of the church, say, come on in, and if you don't come in, then I'm coming to your house to sit down with you, and I want to talk. Don't go self-righteous. I want to talk to you about why my life has changed, why I feel like my life has changed. Oh, come on, somebody. I know God is with us tonight. This is so good. The number to call is 347-850-8255. 8557. It's time for the body of Christ to be the hands and the feet. It's time to preach the word of God. God is giving everybody a chance while we are alive, while we are here, to get to know him. It is not his will to send the people that he created in his image to hell. When you call, I want to talk to you. All you got to do is press number one, and I want to talk with you. I want to pray with you, because it's not his will for any of us to perish. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But by his grace, his mercy, his shed blood, he has saved us. He said, come on in. Come to be a part of the family. Let me in. I'm knocking on your door. Let me in. I want to come in and sup with you. I say to my pastors, I say to my teachers, I say to the people who call themselves ministers, stop worrying about your robe. Stop worrying about the platform that you are, that you're standing on, how big your church is. The Bible says that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know where the harvest is? It's not inside the four walls. The harvest is not there. Everybody inside the church has been harvested already. The harvest is outside the doors. Open the doors and either tell them to come in or you go out there. We have friends that we love. We do fun things with, but they're dying and they're lost and they're hurting. Give them some good news. And I know, let me tell you one other thing. I know what the problem is. We don't really have the good news ourselves. Now, I'm not talking to the people who know that they know that they know. But there's a whole bunch of believers that are wishy-washy and that feel they're not sure. They're not sure. Let me tell you something. God's word is true. God's word is true. His will is for you to be a part of his family. He's not happy when you're lost. He's not trying to punish you. That's another time. But right now, God wants you saved. He wants you to be a part of his family. He says, come as you are. Come stinky. Come dirty. Come gay. Come straight. Come adulterer. Come liar. Come whoremonger. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Come unto me and I will give you rest. To my believers, my brothers and sisters who already believe, remember, if you tell the truth, such were some of you. And for the ones who say, well, Pastor Angie, I didn't do anything. I didn't have sex before marriage. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Remember, you still would have died and gone to hell. I have a caller. We're going to take our caller. Thank you, caller. Let me see. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can hear you. You're on with Pastor Angie Walter. How are you?
Hi, Pastor Angie. How you doing? I'm so sorry. My phone, I was just thinking that, therefore it was unmuted, but I got it now. It was on mute. That's why you didn't hear me. I really enjoyed the word on today. Oh, my gosh. Whew. I'm just over here. I can't stop smiling. I can't. I'm just so excited. I'm filled with, God. Whew, Jesus, Lord. I thank you. Whew. Honey, I'm just telling you, I just thank God for you. I just thank God for being
to?
Here. My name is Lakeisha. I'm just that excited.
Okay, that's okay, Lakeisha. I just
want
to know who I was talking to. Go ahead.
Oh, gosh. I can't get it all out, but I'm just going to say this here. I thank God for using you to therefore bring forth this word on today, Pastor Angie.
Praise God.
And it really did filled my spirit and my soul, because this is some of the things that me and Crystal were talking about this earlier this week, and you just confirmed it. And I'm just thanking God for you.
Praise God. Thank you.
And just continue to lift me and keep me in prayer, Pastor Angie, and I will do the same for you, love.
Amen. Thank you. I will definitely. I'll be praying for Sister Lakeisha. Bless you. Thank you so much.
Okay, sweetie. All right.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Guys, please, thank you so much. Call in. I welcome your comments. I welcome your questions. You know, God is in the place, and it is time to do what we need to do as the body of Christ, as believers. You know, we keep complaining about what's going on in the world. I think we have a little bit of responsibility for that. Because the body of believers, we have to stand up in love. Talk, and you have to start with your little circle of influence. You know, just start small. Let me tell you this. So, you know, my church is Hope Together International Church. Help other people endure together. And our mission is local missions. Whatever God has called us to do locally, you know, we're not going to go to Africa. I haven't heard the Lord say that yet, but right now, if we can provide a meal, if we can provide some clothes, if we can encourage somebody in the Word, if we can pray for somebody, if we can visit someone, those small things sometimes go undone. Now, there are many who are on the field doing local missions, but the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few, and there are so many that need people to visit and to speak into their life. You know, this is how we spread hope. This is how we spread hope. One person at a time, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day, 1 week. You know, you hear people talk about paying it forward. This is how we take the kingdom back for our people. This is how we take the kingdom back. Come on, somebody. So I just invite you to call in. I invite you to, I'm looking at our phone lines, y'all. I invite you to call in. Give me your comments, 347-850-8557. And then you press the number 1 for comments, questions. And we will be back after the next commercial break. Just give me about 1 good minute, guys, and we'll come right back. Praise the Lord, everybody. We are back. You are on the Crystal Chanel Network, and I am Pastor Angie Walston with Help Other People Endure. I am so glad that you have joined me tonight. I'm so glad we've had our callers, and I know that there are people on the air listening. Thank you so very much. I pray that you are being blessed and you are having your thoughts provoked and that God is speaking to your heart right now. And I just want to talk to my believers, my brothers and my sisters. Just know that I say this all to you in love. I say this not from a self-righteous perspective, because remember, I say to myself, Angie, such were some of you. I was some of this stuff that we talked about before. And so what I want to say to you is this. This is to propel you. This is to say, let's redirect, let's brainstorm, let's open the doors of the church, and let's get down to the business. Let's get outside of these four walls on Sunday. Let's broaden our horizon, and let's look down the road and see what we can do differently and see how we can go after our lost brothers and sisters. It's time. It's time for the believer to act, to put into action these things that we talk about on Sunday, to put into action what we say we believe. We love everybody. We don't hate. We want people to be saved. We want people to know Jesus. Are you opening your mouth? Are there unsaved brothers and sisters in your family, in your circle of friends? Is your husband unsaved? Is your wife unsaved? Is your son lost? Have you given up? God did not give up on you. Don't get tired and weary in well-doing, for in due season we are going to reap. The harvest is plenteous. I tell ministers and pastors at churches and associate ministers, don't get upset with your team. Don't be jealous of one another. The harvest is plenteous. There's ministry in you. It's too many lost for you to sit and worry about who's going to be in the pulpit on Sunday. It's too many lost for you to worry about if you're being used. If you want to be used, make up your ministry. Find out what God wants you to do and get busy. Let me tell you, this is how hope came along. I was already working. I work in the church. My children work in the church. That's what we do. But my heart wanted to do more. I wanted to go after people. I kept seeing people coming to church, and they were doing the same thing. They come Sunday, bow down, get at the altar. Next Sunday, you see them at the altar again, crying, broke down. I was like, God, we're missing something. Our people aren't empowered. What I say to the pastors and the ministers, empower the people that are there. Give them the word. You do them a disservice. It's unjust to sit there and preach false doctrine, to teach them about things that's not going to empower them in the word of God, things that are not going to cause them to be able to minister to other people. The whole church is full of ministers. All of you sitting in the pews are ministers. I'm not talking about standing in the pulpit preaching. I'm talking about the people you sit on the bus with, the people you ride MARTA with, the people you take a cab with. You have the opportunity, if you want to minister in love, not from a self-righteous perspective. That is our call. Do not let your sight be limited by those four walls. You want to see further. You want our arms to reach further. We want our feet to go further for Jesus Christ. We want our hands to touch people for Jesus Christ. We want our mouths to speak the word of God. And I want to see people healed. When I speak the word of God, I want to see God's word come alive and be performed. It's not going to fall to the ground. And there is a harvest of lost people that need to know Jesus loves them just like he loves you and he loves me. Let's look at Matthew 28 as I'm getting ready. My time is coming to an end shortly. I'm going to pray with you all. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28. Let's look at verses 16 through 20. Now I say to you this day that if you have ministry in you. I say to those who say, I want to work. I say to those who say, I want to pray for people. I say to those who say, I want to preach God's word. I say to those who say, I want to sing God's word. I say to those who say, I want to stand and read the scriptures with power. I say to those who say, I want to see people get healed. What Jesus said in Matthew 28, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. We got to get rid of doubt. Doubt is our enemy. It's the enemy of faith, because I know that while I'm speaking right now, there are people who are rejoicing and praising God because they feel a stirring up in their stomach, that ministry's there, and they want to talk to, they have somebody in mind that they want to talk to. Don't let doubt come in. And then verse 18 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all, now listen, this is what I'm saying to you. I'm reading to you God's word. This is for you, all those people. I say to you what Jesus said. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Come on, I heard go all through the airwaves. Therefore, go outside of those four walls. Go to somebody's house who's unsaved, not to hang, but to heal. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And Jesus says, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Hallelujah. Don't you feel the power right now? Don't you know that the harvest is ripe? It's time for us to be busy about our Father's business. It's time for us to show love to our lost brothers and sisters, so that when we open the doors, they will come in. So that when we open the doors, they will say, what must I do to be saved? I just want to hear the word of God. Don't you know it's the word of God that will, that changes that heart of stone to a heart of flesh? Don't you know it's the love of God that will saturate that person and wrap arms around them? There are so many broken people. We don't want to go out and keep breaking people. We don't want to go out and be the cause of people not coming to church. How can they hear unless they have a preacher? Come on, somebody. I say to my believers, the brothers and sisters who follow Jesus Christ, it's time for you to be about your Father's business in love. It is time for us to open the doors of the church and to invite in all of those people who have felt alienated, who have been turned away by their families. Remember, Jesus said, it's not the righteous that need a doctor, but it is the sick. And the church is a hospital. The church should be full of people. Just like the hospitals were full of sick people, the church should be full of people who got issues. Don't be the people who shut the door. You come in and you turn and shut the door behind you. Just like when the scripture says that the master went away and he left the servants in charge of his talents, and he asked them, what did you do with my talent while I was gone? Well, the last servant didn't do anything. He hid it in the ground. We are going to be responsible for our lost brothers and sisters. We are responsible. Go out into the highways and the byways and compel people to come. Talk to them about the love of Jesus. Have love in your heart. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to empower you. Tell him you want to do work. and he's not going to turn you away. I want to pray with you right now. We're going to pray. We're going to have, as you listen to the music, and as you hear God knocking on your heart's door, don't harden your heart. It's time for the body of Christ to be empowered. If we tell them about Jesus in love, the Holy Spirit will do his work. I'm going to pray for all of my lost brothers and sisters. I love you tonight. I love you. God loves you. My heart right now is bleeding for you. God loves 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 you. Some people don't feel like their husband loves them. Some people don't feel like their wives love them. Children don't feel like their parents love them. But God loves you. He has not forgotten you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, hear our prayer, God. Hallelujah. Hear our prayer, Lord. God, we're calling out to you right now on behalf of our lost brothers and sisters, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that the scales of unbelief fall from their eyes. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I command blinders of darkness over their minds to be removed in the name of Jesus. We break those ropes in the name of Jesus. We bind up the hands of demons and devils who are trying to dupe their minds and trying to cause their hearts to be full of hate and to be hardened. In the name of Jesus, we come against people's minds being drugged and intoxicated with the lies of the devils in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that unbelievers are under a spell, and we pray right now that their minds be loosed from Satan, from his assignments against them, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer, oh God. Hallelujah. Hear our prayer, oh God. We rebuke the devil off of their minds of the lost, Father God. We rebuke the devil off of their minds in Jesus Christ's name. We come against spirits of rebellion in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the Lord himself rebukes you. Oh God, open their eyes, Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, we don't help them to not be blind any longer in the name of Jesus, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father. Lord God, I pray for those that are listening right now who are dealing with sickness, Father God. We come against sickness in their bodies. The Holy Spirit dwells in their bodies, and we plead the blood of Jesus over their bodies right now, God. We pray against cancer in the name of Jesus. We pray against high blood pressure and diabetes in the name of Jesus. We pray against mental illness. Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind in the name of Jesus. Your minds are sound and alert in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, loose them from Satan's attacks, from him binding them, bondage in the name of Jesus, God. We take it back violently. We take back their minds. We take back their emotions, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hear our prayer, oh God. Hear our prayer, oh God. We cry it out loud to you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thy will be done. God, we come against HIV and AIDS, Lord God. We come against skin diseases, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Rashes, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We come against sin, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Oh, God, we thank you right now for your Holy Spirit who prays on our behalf, Father God. Oh, God, we thank you that minds are sound and alert and people are being loosed and set free and delivered by your blood, Father God, by the shed blood in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We come against the God of this world that blinds the minds of our sisters and brothers who are lost, Father God. God, we pray, let your light shine on their minds, in their hearts, God. God, I pray that the believers are empowered, God, and that they will speak love, that they will speak your word to those that are lost. Help our sisters and brothers to be free in the name of Jesus. I pray right now, and I speak to my sisters and brothers who are believers. I say, rise up in the name of Jesus, and be ye lifted up, and the King of glory shall come in. In the name of Jesus, you are empowered. God has given you the assignment, and you go in the name of Jesus and loose the captives free. Set them free by the word of our Father, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Loose them, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and they shall be loose. Oh, God, we give you praise and glory right now in the name of Jesus. You are God, and there's nothing too hard for you, oh, God. Hallelujah, God. We bless your mighty name, God. God, I know the people are crying out to you right now. Hear our prayer, God. Hallelujah, God. I thank you for your joy. I thank you for your peace. I thank you for hearing our prayer in the name of Jesus. Minds are free and sound and alert. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Oh, God, we thank you right now, God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, it is so, and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I invite you to join us again next time with Help Other People Endure. I'm your host, Pastor Andy Walton. Pray for me. I will pray for you. And just remember that September 11th, we will be hosting our community engagement event with our faith leaders and our public health officials. We want to come together and open the doors of the church. Be blessed, and I'll see you next time.